In the name of Jesus, amen. For those who know me, it would not surprise you to learn that my favorite part of the account of Jesus' temptation is where Luke tells us that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. The desert is paradoxically a place of prayer, of communion with God, of the Spirit, and a place of spiritual attack where the devil, the evil spirit, tempts. And the evil spirit often lurks around where God's Spirit dwells. Luke uses other expressions to refer to the Spirit's presence and activity in Jesus. After his temptation, Luke tells us that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee to begin his public ministry, for which he was anointed at the Jordan. When Jesus enters the synagogue, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." At the house of Cornelius, Peter proclaimed how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit, and when Jesus speaks and acts in the power of the Spirit, God's kingdom comes, and sinners are saved, delivered, redeemed from sin, death, and the devil. And Luke tells us that from the very first moment of his human life, in Mary's womb, the Holy Spirit is already with Jesus. At the Annunciation, the angel Gabriel announces these good news to Mary: "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." You know, reflecting on this text, Martin Chemnitz notes that the Son of God assumed his human nature from the flesh and blood of Mary, which the Holy Spirit in the act of conception so sanctified and purified from the whole ruin of sin that which is born of Mary is holy. Unlike the rest of us who are born in Adam's sin and without the Holy Spirit, Jesus is holy and without sin from conception because the Holy Spirit acts in his humanity by a supernatural act of God the Father. Jesus is also full of the Spirit at his baptism, because at the Jordan, the Father anoints Jesus with the Spirit to set him apart for his mission, to be the obedient Son and our suffering servant. The Son is anointed to take the form of the servant, to be obedient unto death on a cross, to die at the hands of sinners in order to deliver us from our sins. As one of my students once said, at the Jordan, Jesus was anointed to die. The baptism of water leads to the baptism of blood. Jordan leads to Golgotha. But unlike the rest of us who receive the Spirit in the waters of baptism to be purified and cleansed from our sins, Jesus is anointed with the Spirit to save us from our sins. And then we have today's text. Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit and was led by the Holy Spirit in the wilderness, where he is tempted by the devil. We have a recurring theme here. Jesus is full of, led by the Spirit in various ways and at all times, from conception and throughout his whole life and mission. At his birth, on Christmas, at his baptism in Epiphany, and now at his temptation in Lent. The Son is never without the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is never without the Son. But what does it mean to say that Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit in the wilderness? Well, right after that, Luke says it, he was led by the Spirit. So to be full of the Holy Spirit here means that Jesus wills to be led by the Spirit in obedience to the Father so that he can be our servant. The Son's obedience is tested as the devil tempts him to walk away from the mission for which he was anointed by the Father with the Spirit. If you are the Son of God, then will to do this or will to do that. But Jesus will not do it because the Son of God does not will anything against his Father's will. For Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit and was led by the Holy Spirit. And the Son therefore wills what the Holy Spirit who dwells in him and leads him wills. And the Holy Spirit's will aligns with the Father's will. Or to use Chemnitz language, I'm getting a lot of mileage out of Martin Chemnitz here, you notice. The Son of God willed to be kept from sin by the supervention of the Holy Ghost. In other words, the Son of God will to be holy by the Spirit's intervention at his conception and by the Spirit's ongoing leading in every moment of his life and mission. The Son will to live as one full of the Holy Spirit and led by the Spirit, which means that he will to do what is holy, to do what is in accordance with God's will and word for our sake. And so Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, says no to the evil spirit. And in so doing, says yes to the Father. And he did this for our sake, to deliver us from the devil and the seduction of sin and evil. So now you know, Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit. But are you full of the Holy Spirit? These things are related, the fullness of the Spirit in Jesus and the fullness of the Spirit in his disciples. You know, Luke uses the phrase full of the Holy Spirit and similar expressions to refer to the presence of the Spirit not only in Jesus, but in the saints. In the scene prior to his martyrdom, for instance, Stephen is full of the Holy Spirit. Stephen is full of grace and power as he does signs and wonders. Power being a word that Luke often uses in parallel to Holy Spirit. Along with Philip and others, Stephen is one of the seven deacons chosen by the apostles as men full of the Spirit and of wisdom. Luke also describes Stephen and Barnabas as men who are full of faith and of the Spirit. And Dorcas is said to be full of good works and acts of charity. I love this full of expressions. They show us that the saints are full of the Holy Spirit, are led by the power of the Holy Spirit, are bearers of gifts of the Spirit, like faithfulness and wisdom and good works. We learn that Jesus does not keep the Spirit and his gifts to himself, but in an act of divine generosity, Jesus gives us the Spirit whom he bears in all fullness. From his fullness we share. we receive his Spirit. Here comes Chemnitz again. Here's what he says, that Jesus received gifts of the Spirit, and because we are his brothers and sisters, according to the human nature, Jesus gives, communicates, distributes these gifts to his brothers and sisters, to us, as the head to its members. Beautiful language. The Spirit flows from Christ to the church, from the head to the members, so that we receive from his fullness, the fullness of the Spirit. Or as the church fathers used to say, the Spirit he has by nature, he gives to us by grace. So yes, you too are full of the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus' gift to you. And it's a gift we specially need as we face the attacks of the evil spirit. Because you are full of the Spirit of Christ, your lives in the Spirit will reflect Christ's life. And so, like Jesus, we too are anointed with the Holy Spirit in our baptism, in our little Jordan, if you will, to live in obedience to the Father and in service to our neighbors. We too return from the Jordan and enter the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit. And in the wilderness, we too are led by the Spirit as the devil tempts us. You see, life in the Spirit is life in the desert, like Jesus. We are being tempted daily by the devil, and our faithfulness as sons and daughters of God is continually tested. Luther's description of the Christ-like life as a life of tentatio, which means spiritual attack, is not some weird parochial Lutheran way to talk about the Christian life. This way of talking is deeply rooted in Jesus' own wilderness. In his baptismal booklet, Luther teaches us, for instance, that through baptism, the evil spirit is driven out of the child's life, but also that baptism brings the child into a lifelong struggle against the evil spirit. The devil tempts Jesus, and then Luke says he comes back at an opportune time to do it again. And this is exactly what the Christian life is like. Baptism brings one into a struggle with the devil, hanging around the child's neck, a mighty lifelong enemy, as Luther puts it. But baptism also provides the baptized with the spiritual strength, yes, the Holy Spirit, so that the child might resist the devil valiantly in this life, and even as death approaches. The waters of baptism are, in Luther's mind, our oasis in the desert. The temptation of Jesus really does describe the Christian life in a very significant way, both the struggle that it is and God's answer to it. The letter to the Hebrews, for instance, reminds us that the exalted Jesus is a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses, because in every respect, he has been tempted as we are. And because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus can sympathize with us, but he also helps us in our struggle. Jesus is like us and unlike us. Like us in every way, except for sin, unlike us. And because of his purity, of his holiness, of the fullness of the Spirit in him, of his obedience, he can intercede for us and help us in our temptations. In the desert, Jesus said no to Satan and yes to the Father. To become our suffering servant, an unblemished offering, pure to God for our sake. Now, this is a little expression from the writer of Hebrews that maybe we just kind of pass over. But it's from Hebrews 9:14, when we are told that through the eternal Spirit, another word for the Holy Spirit, by the way, through the eternal Spirit, Jesus offered himself to God as an unblemished, holy, unstained sacrifice in order to enter the heavens so that he could intercede before the Father on our behalf when we are tempted and when we fall into sins. So on our own, we cannot make it through the desert. But Christ went to the desert, drove the devil out for us, so that in his name we can stand firm against the enemy. One little word, Jesus can fell him, subdue him. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, being full of the Holy Spirit does not make us immune to spiritual attacks. They will come. Being full of the Spirit actually brings us into the wilderness. We all have our own deserts in life. We all have our own places, situations, behaviors, ways of thinking, ways of speaking that the devil uses to drive us away from God and neighbor. We each have some Achilles heel where the devil is most likely to tempt us and make us fall. I don't know what your desert or Achilles heel is. It's different for everyone. But I know this. You have a gift from Jesus to withstand the attacks when they come your way. You have the fullness of his Spirit. Jesus does not keep the Spirit to himself. He goes to the desert full of the Spirit to deliver you from the evil spirit. And from his fullness, Jesus makes you full of the Spirit to drive the enemy away in his name. So as we walk through the wilderness with Jesus during this season of Lent, let Luther's baptismal prayer be our prayer. Evil spirit, come out. Holy Spirit, enter in. In the name of Jesus, amen.